The St. Louis Post-Dispatch is not a small newspaper. In fact, it's read around the country. It's a newspaper that a lot of people go to find out just what's going on, particularly in St. Louis. Well, you can imagine my surprise when one of our faithful listeners had an editorial printed in the Post-Dispatch. It was a welcome to the letters, a letters that people can send in. His name is Fred Lukemeyer, and he and his wife, now asleep in Jesus, would often come to a number of my seminars that I held in the St. Louis area. So I got to know the couple really well, very faithful, and he writes the following, and we want to talk about this. The title is Welcome to the Future. We are witnessing in England now the natural end of an entitlement society. What happens when the payment for all of the promises that politicians make comes due and there is no money to continue paying the bill? I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, August the 17th. Now, we don't really talk about politics on this program because when I want to talk about politics, I will have to have something in God's Word to back what I'm going to say. So 90% of what, you know, politicians are doing and saying, I really don't have anything to say from a biblical point of view. I showed that a couple of days ago when I was talking about Romney as a Mormon. I couldn't care less what he believes as a Mormon, because we've had a pretty good track record of presidents who do not bring in their religious views that they may hold closely to into the country because of the distinction of the separation of church and state in a proper way. Nixon belonged to a denomination that didn't believe in fighting in war, and yet he didn't have any problem going to war. And there were a lot of things, for example, President Kennedy, as a Roman Catholic, would not have believed in birth control, and yet he didn't set up laws to outlaw it. And similarly, I, as a Lutheran, if I got elected as President of the United States, I am very strong on infants need to be baptized. But I would never set a law indicating that all infants need to be baptized because, well, first of all, it's a spiritual matter, and second of all, it's not a magical act that just because you're baptized, it's okay. It's got to be done under certain circumstances according to God's order. And one of the biggest items, for example, particularly for us Lutherans, because as you well know, KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and so we therefore reflect that theology, we do not believe in any kind of divorce. We excommunicate people for unbiblical divorce. There are some biblical reasons that you can divorce your spouse, such as adultery or desertion, but all the divorces that are going on today, I believe I excommunicated two people in the congregation I was at for divorce because it was an unbiblical divorce. But as a politician, you would allow no-fault divorce. And that's not going against your religion. It's because there are guidelines for Christians that are not necessarily guidelines for the whole country. And infant baptism would be a good example. Or coming to the Lord's Supper. God desires that all come properly to the Lord's Supper. But you can't make a law. So the distinction between church and state is important. So some of you may be wondering, now wait a minute. It sounds like, in light of what Fred has just written, you're going to be speaking about politics. Yes, but it's going to be biblically based politics. The main verse I would use is the Bible's verse that he who does not work should not eat. And in context, what that is saying is that, yes, people deserve a good wage, etc., but if they have the ability to work and the opportunity to do so and do not do so, they really don't deserve to eat. And what we have now is a society where people have found that under some laws, it's better not to work because you'll actually get more benefits if you don't go to work. first of all, you don't have to pay taxes. And second of all, you can get food stamps. And there are a lot of features in a society. Now, what Fred is saying is that what happened in England is they set up a society where it actually pays people not to work. And yet you're still going to be taken care of by the government. See, this is a huge difference between the two kingdoms. In the spiritual kingdom, God gives no law motivation at all in order for you to baptize your infants or to come to the Lord's Supper. All the motivation is the gospel. Let me give a very clear example. Both the state and the church need funding. Only the state is allowed to use the law as motivation for funding. And what is the law motivation? It's hope of reward or fear of punishment. Now, how can people want to give taxes out of a hope of reward? Well, there are actually some billionaires going around now saying that they should be taxed more in order that their money might be able to help out the country in other areas. See, that's a hope of reward they would get if they were taxed more. Their money could be used for that. Most people give taxes out of fear of punishment, that if you don't pay your taxes, you could really be in trouble with the IRS. In the church, it is wrong to use the law as motivation. There's only three motivations that people are moved by. Now, if you can think of another motivation, give me a ring here at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. The law's two motivations are hope of reward or fear of punishment. I will never be convinced that playing the stock market is not gambling. Of course it's gambling. It's giving your money and hoping you're going to get some back without work. I'm not opposed to that. It's just that I just really laugh at those who are totally against gambling on these boats on the rivers and yet don't have any trouble with the stock market. Just take a look at what's happened to stocks recently. How would you like to have 2 days where you have a 200 fall in the stock market? I mean, that really impacts your 401ks, your retirement accounts, and so forth. Yeah, I used to be in the stock market. I got in just as it started going down, and I lost some money, and I'm never going to go back in that. Now, that's because I don't seek out the right wisdom. I don't have the time for that, and I can use my money in better ways. So each person is different. If you're in the stock market, that's fine. But just realize it's a gamble. You could really increase over a long stretch of time, but over a short time, you could lose a lot. Okay. Getting back, though, to the point of how you set up a society from God's point of view. If you don't have motivation for people to work, you're going to have a society where there's going to be a lot of disruption. And finally, you're going to go to violence. That's just so clear from the scripture. Because when people get used to having things they haven't paid for, they haven't worked for, they expect that to increase. And when it doesn't, they're really going to get angry. Now, Fred goes on in his article, let me read some more of it, after talking about when the politicians in England found out they didn't have the money to continue paying the promised benefits, he says, "Could this be a glimpse of our future as we continue spending with 40 cents of every dollar spent being borrowed? Some might call that overspending. Is this the action of a country whose currency is and will continue to be the world's reserve currency?" Now, you could approach this from a number of points of view. There was an article in Time magazine by a so-called economist who thought that it was really inappropriate to compare a family in the United States putting a lot of borrowing on their credit card with the United States borrowing a lot. That it was really apples and oranges. Now, I read the article and I wasn't convinced that the economist was right. But you need to be aware that there are some people who think that by borrowing and overspending, a government can get back on its feet. That isn't particularly a un-Christian point of view where you would excommunicate someone, but it does really appear from the scripture that any loss of motivation for people to work and make money in a way that is God-pleasing is going to lead to a lot of chaos. He goes on, Fred does, once the dollar no longer is the world's reserve currency, borrowing the 40 cents of every dollar the politicians spend will become unsustainable as the interest rate inevitably escalates. The Federal Reserve will have to continue to print money to pay for all the promises, and this will result in ever-escalating inflation, and we will yearn for a double-A bond rating, not just a triple-A that we have right now. Now, the fact of the matter is, from a biblical point of view and a law gospel point of view, if it is true that the Federal Reserve continuing to print money ends up putting us more and more in debt, you'll finally get to a point that we've seen countries overseas get to, where there is now rioting in the streets because the government has to pull back on the promised benefits. They no longer can afford them. And if that occurs, that's because of poor planning. The reason communism is contrary to the Bible is because you cannot have a utopia here on earth. You will always have the poor with you, and you will always have the rich. Even the communists, the heads of state, lived in lavish palaces with plenty to eat and all the good things of that day in comparison to the peasant on the farm. It was really a lie that communism could equal out. Well, what's happened, and we see this time and time again, when individuals are told that whether you plant or not, we will pay you, then why work hard at planting crops if you're going to get paid anyway? In fact, I'm told in order to keep the prices up of some crops, some farmers are paid not to plant. Now, we do know people are starving, and you think there would be a better system whereby the amount of food that is grown could still be used to feed those who are hungry. Take a look overseas at some of the places where people are starving to death in camps, and there's nobody really there to help them out, and there doesn't appear to be the kind of food coming in that is necessary to keep them from starving. Fred goes on, inflation is a form of tax and is paid not only by the wealthy but also for the poorest, as they also must eat and survive. Yeah, I was listening to the news about gallons of gas. You know, there's a tax, a federal tax on it, and I think it's, what, 14 or 18%. Well, some are suggesting in order to get people to start moving to green energy that the tax should be 14 to 18% plus a dollar per gallon. And it was noted that the only people that would really be hurt by that are the poor. But that didn't seem to faze those people who were suggesting that, because we need to move to solar energy, wind energy, this sort of thing. Even though some of the speakers made very good points that you take solar energy, of course it's possible, but they still haven't found the way to harness it in such a way that you can drive a car for 400 miles on it. Oh yes, you can do it for maybe 30 miles, and that'll probably increase as batteries get bigger and bigger. But the fact of the matter is, unless you're going to put a sail on top of your car and use the wind to move you along, gasoline is the way for the foreseeable future. There's not going to be a big change in the greenery, so to speak, at least in our lifetimes. And so the kinds of things that are happening, is it really worth it to be happening? Now, each Christian may have a different opinion on that. But the law gospel point of view would be, he that does not work should not eat. Now, and we're talking here about able-bodied people who have jobs that they could take but refuse to do so because they actually can make more money by not working. So, going on with the letter. In this country, this could result in the same violence we now witness in England, as a politician's promises can no longer be kept. But we all agree that the debt ceiling had to be raised because we could not live with the revenue which the government takes in. Welcome to the future. Now, whether you're for the debt ceiling being raised, ceiling or not, that again is a point that Christians can disagree on and still be Christian. What we're looking at is the bigger picture that Fred brings out here. And the bigger picture is when we understand how the temporal kingdom works, it really works on the basis of, are you ready for this? Organized selfishness. Organized selfishness. What do you mean by that? Well, when I was growing up, I learned to drive a car. Well, then I wanted to buy a car, and then I had to buy gas. And then if I had a girlfriend, I had to take her out to eat, or we'd go to a dance or a movie. This all took money. So I remember one summer I had 5 different jobs. I started out picking beans or peaches on a farm, and then I moved to actually driving a Jeep delivering food from a restaurant. Then I got into a big boy. Then I ended up going on a roofing job. And as I've said before, I'm afraid of heights, so I don't know what I was thinking about. And then finally, after all that, I got involved with working at Chrysler on the assembly line. And this was a 6-month stretch where I was between schools. I had gotten out of one school earlier and had to wait all the way around to September, and that was 6 months. So I did these 5 jobs. Now, why did I go from one to the other? Not because I enjoyed them better, but because they gave more pay. So I would quit the one and move to the one that had more pay, while at the same time recognizing that I wasn't doing this except for the reward. Remember, the motivation of the law is either fear of punishment or hope of reward. I've never really understood how parents can't control children, because they can use the law, especially with the fear of punishment. But a lot of times, hope of reward works too. Like, for instance, if your child is always coming home late from school because he's playing baseball or something, all you have to do is say to him, by the way, we eat at 5 o'clock. If you are home at 5 minutes to 5, which he hasn't been for the past week, I will give you $5. Now, when I was growing up, $5 was like $50. I would be home at 5:10. Wouldn't really matter what was happening in the baseball game. Even though I was up, bases loaded, and I could hit a grand slam and be the hero of the team, I'm sorry, guys, I got to get home because $5 is waiting for me. See, that's hope of reward. Or if my dad had said, if you're not home at 5:05, you won't be allowed to play baseball for a whole month. Well, I'd be home at 5:05. In the church, we as pastors aren't allowed to use the hope of reward, fear of punishment syndrome, unless we're dealing with a temporal matter. I'll give you an example where I was. First of all, a spiritual matter would be contributions. You don't say to somebody, well, if you don't give $500 this week, we're not going to commune you. That's not going to wash. But a lot of times, the pastor does get involved in a temporal matter. A wife brought her husband in who was on drugs. And he confessed to me that he was on drugs, etc., and they had children and this sort of thing. And so I gave him 48 hours in order to get into a drug clinic, or else I was going to call the police. Well, he got into that drug clinic. So there I was using the fear of punishment, but there I was dealing with a temporal matter. Oh, you're saying that being on drugs is not a spiritual matter? No, it really isn't. in the sense that it's really something dealing with the laws of the land. You may not realize this, but and I'm going to talk about this in the second part of the program, but 100 years ago in 1911, drugs like heroin were sold over the counter in drugstores. Well, we'll talk about that, you know, when we get back from the break. What it was like 100 years ago. What we're talking about right now is, do we use the law to move somebody in a certain direction? And the answer is, it depends. If you're dealing in the temporal realm, then politicians need to be smart as to how God has created this world. Where we're really talking about the orders of creation. You don't have to go to the Bible to realize that homosexual marriage is an abomination. You don't have to go to the Bible to figure out that abortion is an abomination. It's just, by nature, it's just so obvious that there is a true baby in the womb. And all this nonsense about calling it a fetus to the extent that it's not a human being, that's nonsense. It's just a way of people trying to justify their killing of other human beings. I mean, they did that in Nazi Germany, where the Jews were considered no longer to be real people. Now, we did that in the United States with blacks. We did that with Indians until the Supreme Court reversed itself. And we hope it'll reverse itself on abortion. Because a country that continues to kill its babies is not a country that's going to be blessed by God. How his curse will fall on this country is anyone's guess. But one of the worst ways the curse would fall is that everything will seem to be going smoothly, as things were in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's really the worst curse that God can bring on someone, because he's not waking them up to the dangers that are before them. So, as Christians, we do have, as Fred did, we do have the responsibility to witness how the orders of creation are set up in this world, and how there are going to be problems if one doesn't stay within the confinements of how God has set up this creation. And that understanding of the confinements can be seen by what we call natural law. We can't go into all of that right now, but it's a fact of the matter that natural law teaches us quite clearly that there are times when what is wrong is obvious to everybody, except the people who are doing it. Yes, I'm not saying that the people who want to set up a society where others are taken care of have bad motivation. No, they really would want to help others. We're not judging motives so much as we're judging the wisdom of setting up a society where people get used to getting things for nothing, and then all of a sudden, they're taken away. And it's unfortunate that when they're taken away, it's because the economy is in a situation where the money isn't coming in, which means jobs can't be found, and one thing is exasperated over another. Well, we don't really have to wait for what's happening in England. I believe it was happening up on the West Coast in Washington State, Philadelphia. The mayor has come out very angry with what is happening in young people going to the streets and doing really bad things. So thank you, Fred Lichtenmeyer, in helping us understand how God's Word works and why that's very important to follow. Please stay with us during the break. And by the way, during the break, you can phone us at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Please stay with us through the break.
Sign on at 7 Thursday morning. Wake up with inspiration, information, and morning essentials on KFUO Radio. Jane Wilkie from Lutheran Senior Services will have a message for you. We'll talk with Kelly Mayer, a nutrition educator with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. You'll hear from the Almighty's Morning Show Players. Pastor Nathan Metter checks in from St. John's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, Wisconsin, at your service tomorrow morning on Morning Essentials on KFUO Radio.
KFUO Radio salutes our day sponsor on this Wednesday, August 17th, 2011. Today's day sponsors are Donald and Carol Custer. Today's day sponsor has made a contribution to KFUO Radio in celebration of their 48 wonderful years of marriage, which they celebrate today. Once again, we say thank you to Donald and Carol Custer of Florissant, Missouri. Today's KFUO Radio Day sponsor.
I'm John Fuller with a Focus on the Family Minute. Imagine you're away for the weekend and your teenage daughter has a party with lots of friends, beer, and drugs. Author Michelle Anthony experienced just that and was furious.
In my mind, I'm thinking, how bad can I make this for her? Hmm. And when we start thinking like that as parents, how bad can I make this? What we're saying is, I want to make the consequence so painful that they'll never do it again.
Right.
But unless there's true healing on the inside, no matter how bad our consequences, unless there's true healing, they will either hide what the root of that was, or they'll just get better at it, or they'll just become more rebellious.
It's a noble calling, but parenting can be challenging. If you're struggling with a rebellious teen, find ways to reconnect and remind her of God's love after she cleans up the party mess. For other ideas on training your teen, stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio. This is John Fuller for Focus on the Family. Coming up this weekend, a mom's influence on her son. What kind of godly man are you raising? Training husbands and wives to talk through money issues. And being a father to the fatherless. All that and more on the next Weekend Magazine.
Saturday mornings at 10 on KFUO Radio.
Next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. Martin Luther said that, and we believe it. That's why we're presenting those great musical treasures online at classic99.com. Why don't you check us out? classic99.com, classical music and sacred classics 24 hours a day. A ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Tom Baker back here on Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, August the 17th, in the second portion of the hour. In the first hour, we talked about how, though Law and Gospel is primarily a spiritual field kind of endeavor, it also can be used in the temporal field. If a person no longer is being motivated properly, either by the law or the gospel, hope or reward, fear or punishment, or love of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel motivation, then guess what? You're going to have problems. And that is the purpose of a good politician. It's not that a Muslim, a Jew, or a Mormon cannot be a good president of the United States. No. But if his thinking, or even a Lutheran, if the thinking of any of them are contrary to the way that God has built this creation, you're going to have problems. No matter what are your good intentions mean nothing if the procedure by which you're going to implement them is contrary to how God has set up this creation. That's a real simple thing. For example, a tree. There's a tree that gives syrup. Well, the people who get syrup from trees, they know how to do it without harming the tree. I would go in and just bang away with an axe and make a maybe halfway through the tree and then have all the syrup drip into my cans. But guess what? The tree's going to die. So just because you have a good intention of getting syrup from a tree in order that you can feed people who are hungry doesn't mean you're not going to kill the tree if you don't do it appropriately. In the same way, good intentions really mean nothing if the procedure by which you're going to arrive at them is contrary to God's intention of how this world is to work. It's kind of interesting looking back how different things are 100 years ago. In 1911, for example, this is kind of interesting. They did have automobiles. They looked like carriages with great big wheel tires. And the fuel was sold in drugstores only. Only 14% of homes had a bathtub and 8% had a telephone. Now, what surprised me, there were 8,000 cars in existence in the United States, but there were only 144 miles of paved roads. Now, you would say, well, that doesn't make a very long drive. Well, it could, because the maximum speed limit in most cities was 10 miles per hour. What do you think people got paid? Well, the average U.S. wage in 1910 was 22 cents per hour. When I first started working, one of my first jobs was at a Big Boy kind of hamburger place. I got paid 50 cents an hour. And then I went to a place, a chicken court place, and I went up to 90 cents. Boy, I thought I was really rich. And after a number of other jobs, I finally got to Chrysler, where I was working on the assembly line, and I was making $7 an hour. I almost stopped going to school and thought I could get rich with that. In fact, one of my cousins became an executive at Chrysler, and in his home newspaper, about a year ago, there was a picture of him standing beside the 100th car that he had bought. That's right, he had bought it just from Chrysler, of course, and he had 100 of them. Now, he didn't own them all at the same time. He would own two or three of them. But things were really, really different. The average U.S. worker made between $200 and $400 per year. A dentist would make $2,500 per year. A veterinarian from $1,500 to $4,000, and a mechanical engineer, $5,000 per year. I got some more figures on this, but let's go to the phone lines at 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727 and talk with Linda. Hi, Linda. Hello? Have I got you?
I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, I think that we were designed to need work. You know, our creator, Adam, he worked before the fall. It's just that it's harder after the fall.
Yeah, he didn't have the thistles to deal with. Although I'm wondering, you know, walking around and picking a nice fresh peach, could you consider that work?
Well, I mean, he designed our bodies. That you just look at the space program people, if they're up there in weightlessness and no work, their bones deteriorate, and you know ours do too if we just laid around. And
okay, let me ask you this: is there going to be work in heaven?
Well, I hope so, because it's a wonderful feeling to accomplish something, and I know that God, our Creator, He looked at the work of his hands and he was glad. You know, it made him, he was well pleased.
Maybe it's our definition of work. Remember, work became a curse replacing rest.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm thinking you're saying is, I'm sure you would suggest certain things are work that other people wouldn't think they're work because they're so pleasurable. Like fishing, mm-hmm. to me, is real work.
It is.
Oh,
I
hate going fishing.
Well, and gardening.
Whereas other people think it's wonderful. So if you mean that by work, then okay, we'll be working in heaven, but it's going to be very pleasurable.
Right. And another thing, someone who has no challenges in life, and they just sit around and people just hand them stuff, and they are robbed of the thing that, you know, God can use work, and he does use the challenges and the hardships to develop our walk with him.
Yes.
Like, I can't do this, Lord. Like when you were on that roof, I know you were praying, you know.
Yeah, I had no trouble being on the roof. What I was worried about is they had this ladder that leaned against the wall and was three stories high, and I was trying to figure out how am I going to get my leg around to get on the first rung. That's all I thought about all morning. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you want to know how that happened?
What?
They sent a helicopter. And what happened was that at lunchtime, I walked down the length of the roof. And this was a long roof. It was one of the automobile manufacturing. About an eighth of a mile down, there was another ladder affixed to the wall. It was iron, and it also had behind it things to lean your back on as you went up and down. That I could go up and down without any problem.
Uh-huh.
But it was that, you know how you when you get on a ladder off of something high and you just think it's going to start tipping backwards?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I could only think about. And so,
No, that, you know, but you know, what I'm saying is, it's like in Revelation, it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. How else are you going to learn that you need the blood of the Lamb for each day, for all of everything that we are? We need the blood of Jesus to help us each day and to help us overcome even our work and help us to have the strength that in our weakness of Jesus Christ to do that work. And then at the end of the day, you realize, you know, he's done it all. And if you come up against a problem that you don't know how to, you know, some big task that you cannot, you know, you don't know how to do it, and you pray about it, and he shows you how to do it. I mean, these are relationship things that develop through the hardships and the overcoming by that relationship that came through the blood of Jesus. So...
Would you like to have a Bible verse to back you up?
Yeah.
Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Mm-hmm. And the word service can be translated as work.
And you know, another way I liked it, when I look at that verse, I present myself to God in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and he is the living sacrifice.
Well said.
He's the only sacrifice that's alive. And when I present myself to God, it's through Jesus Christ. And when I've done my work at the end of the day, I realize, you know, it was not I. It was Christ that helped me get that done.
Yes.
I'm 62 years old. I can't do everything I used to do, but I still am. I'm still doing bath and the dogs and everything by his grace.
That's right. And in fact, isn't that interesting? That's the kind of works, fruit of the Holy Spirit, that God is looking at in Matthew 25. He's not looking at your own works, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that where you cooperated with the Holy Spirit in doing that work.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to be thinking about heaven, having to work there, but understanding it in your frame of mind.
Okay.
I
mean, work is good here, Pastor. Work is really good here.
I know. Okay, thank you so much.
Help to sleep. Okay, God bless.
All right, bye. You know, she's absolutely right. Like being here at KFUO, I don't really consider this work. Well, work is kind of a curse. When I worked for a landscaping company, that was work because that was heavy work. Yeah, anybody who's involved in that area where they have to do a lot of physical exertion. Sitting down in front of a computer and putting out a sermon, I don't consider that work. But, see, Linda Wood, just because I enjoy doing something doesn't move it outside of the realm of work. And I think that's what she was saying there. that God designs us to do work. And even with Adam and Eve, when they were created prior to the fall, you know, she's got me thinking here. I just want to take a look what God says to them prior to the fall. He does say, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Well, here's some work he gave Adam to do. The Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not a helper comparable to him. So there was some work there. That's an interesting concept, that work in heaven isn't going to be anything like work on earth. Because although at times we do really enjoy our work, you know how people tell us we really need to take vacations every now and then, or just relax, or else you're going to get burned out. Getting back to 1910, and I've got a purpose in doing all this, where there were 8,000 cars but only 144 miles of paved roads. Average wage was 22 cents an hour. What was the percentage of births that took place at home, not in a hospital? 95% of births. And then if you look at the costs, sugar was 4 cents a pound. Eggs, 14 cents a dozen, almost a penny an egg. Coffee was 15 cents a pound. And most women only wash their hair once a month and use borax or egg yolk for shampoo. The five leading causes of death were pneumonia and influenza, tuberculosis, diarrhea, heart disease, and stroke. What was the population of Las Vegas in 1910? You ready? 30. Iced tea, canned beer, and crossword puzzles hadn't been invented yet, and there was no Mother's Day nor a Father's Day. Only 2 of every 10 adults could read or write. And only 6% of all Americans had graduated from high school. And as I mentioned earlier, on local corner drugstores, marijuana, heroin, and morphine were all available over the counter. In fact, pharmacists would say, heroin clears the complexion, gives buoyancy to the mind, regulates the stomach and bowels, and is, in fact, a perfect guardian of health. Well, you know, there are people trying to get that back over the, so to speak, the counter, instead of making it illegal. In the entire United States of America, how many murders had occurred in 1910? 230. That's less than what occurs in a city like Detroit each year. Now, look at how far we've come in 100 years. Can you even imagine what it will be like in another 100 years? The things I'm saying now about 1910, we're laughing at. People are going to be laughing today. That they actually paid $4 a gallon for gasoline to drive what they called a car. Probably 100 years from now, you'll have a little spaceship that runs on solar power. And you can zip around and there'll be traffic lanes and all kinds of stuff. Who knows? You'll probably take vacations on the moon and on Mars. They're going to have ways in which you can get through space a lot faster. I mean, the things are going to be so different 100 years from now. In fact, it's just really quite amazing. As I get involved more with the Kindle books, Kindle is done by Amazon. And by the way, if you want to get our Are There Animals in Heaven? Entitled Animals in Heaven, go look it up on Amazon.com under Kindle, and you can purchase it. It appears on your Kindle, which is a tablet you carry around, and you can read many, 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 many books on it. You just download it to it. And the cost for Kindle books is, that cost is always less than for a real hardback or paperback. Some people will be carrying the Bible around with them all the time. Now, whether they'll read it or not, I don't know. But that's why I had a really interesting conversation last night, and this is what I'm leaning towards, with a fellow pastor on the East Coast. And what we were talking about is, he says, you know, I'm pretty liberal. I said, you're liberal? Why do you say that? He says, well, you know, when our denomination began, everyone spoke German, and I really don't object that we went to English. And what he then went on to do is make all kinds of changes that had occurred in our church where nobody is complaining about it. And he called that liberal, because for him, conservative means you're stuck in the mud. You just do something the same way all the time. Now, I disagree with that version of conservative, but using his version, I could see how he was saying he was, you know, kind of liberal. And he said, I've even used you as an example, is that, you know, 200 years ago, nobody thought about broadcasting the message of Jesus Christ over the radio. But that's exactly what KFUO does. And there are many more ways that KFUO can even move into the future even more in getting that message out. Why is that? Because things are changing around us. Not so much people's way of thinking. All people still pretty well think that they're good enough to go to heaven. So the same message has to come from the airwaves as does from the pulpit, namely, no, you're not good enough to go to heaven. In fact, you don't have a chance of getting to heaven by your own works. And that's where the message of Jesus Christ still becomes fresh. But for instance now, I have friends in California who tune into Law and Gospel either live, because they have these phones and these gadgets that they just, because of the satellites and everything, they do a few clicks and all of a sudden they're listening to KFUO live while we're live. And of course, some, you can even listen to the archive programs. So the idea of just being stuck in St. Louis and not being able to get further because of the lack of airwaves throughout the whole country, that's no longer true. But what our challenge is how do you get people excited so they actually tune you in? See, this is where marketing takes place, not so much just having a good message. Now, if you don't have a good message and people aren't getting the insights that they expect to get, they're never going to be listening. That's why the Glass Cathedral and others are going out of business, because after a while people just get kind of tired of hearing the same promises with no fulfillment. That's why a truly solid religious programming has to be based on God's holy word. Yes, there are a lot of changes occurring. Whoever thought that I could actually run around on my riding lawnmower listening to KFUO because of earplugs? Or I should say earphones. And I actually got it from Radio Shack. It's a very simple radio. Just tune it in, plug in the earphone, wear the earphone, and you can listen to it all the time. Although I find that when I make certain turns under certain trees, the radio station kind of goes out. So I got to turn my head or something like that. But it's really quite amazing all the things you can do. This is another reason why many bookstores are really going to be going out of business, because people aren't buying books anymore. For every 100 books sold on Amazon.com, 180 are sold through their machine where you can read it right off of the machine. Kindle. And then Barnes & Noble has their own one. AOL has them. A number have their own little tablets. Now, unfortunately, none of them work together. They all have a proprietary system, unfortunately. But Sometimes you can cross over one from the other, depending on what books you have. But the thing that really amazes me, you can now order books. You put it on a Kindle, and then when you're driving in the car, you put it to speaker mode, and the book is read. So you can listen to it. Well, we're talking all about this because the world changes, but the message of Jesus Christ doesn't. So it is true that there are, for a time, large churches growing who've left the message of Jesus Christ for a kind of a pop psychology of optimism and hope. Well, you can tell, you get millions of voters voting one way if you mention the word hope, because people are looking for hope, for a change. But Christianity is realistic. So the hope it gives you is not a utopia here on earth, but a fulfillment of God's promises. And those promises are found throughout the Scripture. I truly believe there's two reasons people are not Christian. The first isn't that they haven't heard the gospel, but they haven't understood the law. They're really poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. But that's very hard for somebody to receive and accept. But the other reason a lot of people aren't Christian at this point is they haven't heard anything about it. Or they've heard just caricatures. It's kind of like what happens in politics. One of the politicians today, I think it was Perry, was mentioning about how the economic situation is like a black cloud coming over the land, and people are accusing him of racism because the President of the United States is black. Now, you know 10 to 1 that there's no way he would have really meant that, even if he believed it, which there's no evidence he does. But when people want to hurt, they'll use all kinds of ways to twist your words in order to make you look bad. Well, there's millions of people who hate Christ, because when they hear about him, they are told once more that they are in need of him. And just like the Pharisees, who thought they had no need of him at all, this just really causes them anger. And so they strike out at the Christian church. And they do so as a kind of a self-defense mechanism to try and give themselves some justification for their lifestyle and for what they are doing. But faithful pastors, faithful laity, we can continue to witness the true message of Jesus Christ, because we have something they don't have, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit to convert those who remain in the darkness of unbelief to the point that they now recognize, wow, this is a God. In fact, this is the only God, and I believe him, I trust him, and I'm going to base my salvation upon his promises and the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, for me. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we're going to be talking about, do you imitate Jesus as an example? And I'm going to ask, how can you imitate someone who was wifeless, homeless, childless, and possessionless? As well as, how can you imitate him in a grin, G-R-I-N, world? We'll talk about that on the next Law and Gospel. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.